Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, July 27th, the ongoing UN Food Preparatory Summit in Rome debates key issues affecting global food production. The Jesuit Refugee Service calls for respect of the rights of migrants and those seeking international protection, and Slovakia launches a 40-day prayer marathon ahead of Pope Francis's apostolic visit to the country in September. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki. The pre-summit for the United Nations Food System Summit, taking place in Rome from July 26 to 28, sets the stage for the culminating global event in September by bringing together diverse actors from around the world to leverage the power of food systems to deliver progress on all 17 Sustainable Development Goals. In a brief message to participants at the pre-summit on Monday, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres spoke about the major drivers of greenhouse gas emissions and biodiversity loss, among which is also the food systems.
We are at a pivotal moment. We are seriously off track to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals by 2030. Poverty, income inequality, and high cost of food continue to keep healthy diets out of the reach of some 3 billion people. Climate change and conflict are both consequences and drivers of this catastrophe. Up to 811 million people faced hunger in 2020, as many as 161 million more than in 2019, not least due to the disruption caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. The pandemic, which still assails us, has highlighted the links between inequality, poverty, food, disease, and our planet. Our war against nature includes a food system that generates one-third of all greenhouse gas emissions. And the same food system is responsible for up to 80% of biodiversity loss. Yet, there is hope. Since my initial call for this summit, you have responded with energy, ideas, and a willingness to forge new partnerships. At this pre-summit, we can define the scope of our collective ambition and stress on our efforts to achieve the 17 SDGs by transforming our food systems. I thank you for your work so far in making this both a people summit and a solution summit. Your leadership will help set a tone for the decade of action and an equitable and sustainable recovery from COVID-19. I look forward to welcoming you to New York in September, and I thank you.
That was UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. Still on the pre-summit, one of the key challenges facing food security worldwide is the impact of global warming and resulting extreme weather phenomena such as droughts and torrential flooding rains. Thaddeus Jones looks at the related issue of climate change and how efforts to address it are necessary to protect world food production.
From the severe flash floods in China and Europe to the extreme drought in the west of North America, causing massive forest fires, all these extreme weather events are believed to be linked to climate change caused by global warming. The effects of the extreme meteorological events, in addition to long-term changes in weather patterns, are putting increasing pressure on farmers around the world and resulting food production. Professor Veerabhadran Ramanathan, a renowned climate and atmospheric scientist at Scripps Institution of Oceanography at the University of California, San Diego, is familiar with the situation in his own research and studies. He's also an academician member of the Vatican's Pontifical Academy of Sciences. He says global warming and resulting climate change are having profound impacts on food production and that addressing this issue is critical as individuals and as nations.
This answer I'm giving just since the last 3-4 years. If you had asked me this question 3 years ago, I'd have given you a totally different answer. Behavioral change, take the bus, change the light bulbs. It's just too late for all that, I'm sorry to say. I published a paper with colleagues in 2018 saying that this 1.5 degree warming is going to come 2030. That's just 9 years from now. So we have to have a major plan to build resilience for people, the vulnerable, all of us, because the only non-political forum I see is churches, synagogues, temples, mosques. I think Pope Francis already started it in Laudato Si. You know, I don't know, you know, we held many meetings at the Pontifical Academy. So that is where the science, faith, and policy formed an alliance.
That was Professor Veerabhadran Ramanathan, a climate and atmospheric scientist at the University of California, San Diego, and a member of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences.
At least 57 people drowned on Monday after a boat capsized off the Libyan coast near Qums. As Linda Bordono reports, this is the latest tragedy in the Mediterranean, where more than 1,100 men, women and children have lost their lives this year.
Authorities said bodies have not yet been recovered from the shipwreck, but survivors of the latest migration tragedy included migrants from Nigeria, Ghana and Gambia. The International Organization for Migration said that according to survivors brought to shore by fishermen and the Coast Guard, at least 20 women and 2 children were amongst those who drowned. The migrants, most of them from West Africa, departed from Qums in Libya in the hope of reaching Europe. An IOM spokesperson noted that, despite an increase in arrivals in Europe, there is no crisis of numbers and arrivals remain manageable through better solidarity and improved governance and management of migration. Pope Francis, the Church and other religious leaders and faith-based organizations have tirelessly advocated for new EU legislation to safeguard the lives and the dignity of migrants who undertake dangerous journeys in search of a better life. In the first half of this year, the Libyan Coast Guard has plucked more than 13,000 people from the Mediterranean, exceeding the total figure for 2020. Earlier this month, the IOM said that the number of people who have died trying to make the crossing nearly doubled in the first half of 2021 compared to the same period last year. Hundreds of thousands have made the perilous crossing in the last years, most of them fleeing conflict and poverty in Africa and the Middle East. I'm Linda Bordoni.
After migrants were allegedly robbed by police in Mexico, the Jesuit Refugee Service calls for an investigation on the treatment of migrants and refugees in the country. As Francesca Merilo reports, along with the Human Rights Center Juan Gerardi de Torreón, JRS calls for respect and asks that the human rights of migrants and those seeking international protection in Mexico be guaranteed.
In particular, the Jesuit Refugee Service and the Human Rights Center Juan Gerardi de Torreón denounce the persecution, criminalization and arbitrary detention of migrants in Mexico, describing it as a recurrent situation. They stress that in reality, state and municipal security forces should not participate in migration operations because their intervention is contrary to legislative provisions. At the same time, the two bodies urge the Ministry of Security to respect international human rights treaties and refrain from any act of intimidation, threat or obstruction of the work of human rights defenders or humanitarian workers. The note from the two organizations was prompted by what happened on the afternoon of the 22nd of July when 12 migrants from the center were aggressively searched by 4 policemen who then stole their money and personal belongings. The humanitarian volunteers tried to intervene but were violently repelled by an officer who claimed that the migrants were in possession of drugs. These accusations were not proven in any way. The incident triggered threats and intimidation by the police officers against the volunteers, who were also physically assaulted and had their mobile phones, which they were using to record the violence, destroyed. The Jesuits in the center therefore call on the Attorney General of the country, Gers Manero, to carry out an effective investigation into what happened, while the National Human Rights Commission is asked to investigate in general all human rights violations against asylum seekers and refugees, as well as violations committed against human rights defenders. The Human Rights Center Juan Gerardi de Torreón has been working since 1999 in the La Laguna de Torreón region of Coahuila, promoting a culture of peace and respect for human rights. Its current areas of work include Central American transmigration, water and environmental protection, and human rights education. The organization also documents cases of missing persons and provides humanitarian support to migrants passing through Torreón on their way to the United States of America. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Even as Vietnam battles its worst surge of the COVID-19 pandemic, a Catholic diocese is rejoicing at the abundance of priestly vocations it has been blessed with. The Bishop of Vinh Diocese in central Vietnam says many of the 34 newly ordained priests will serve as Donum Fide missionaries in other Vietnamese dioceses where there is greater need. Robin Gomes reports.
It's a day of great joy, a day of great blessing in the Diocese of Vinh, which rejoices over 34 new ordained priests who will be missionaries, where the Lord will call them to proclaim and bear witness to the gospel. This is how Bishop Alphonse Nguyen Hu Long of Vinh introduced the solemn mass of the priestly ordination, which he presided over on Sunday. He noted that his diocese was living this moment of great happiness at a time of great suffering in many parts of the world due to the surge in COVID-19 infections, including in Vietnam. The mass could be attended only by a limited number of religious seminarians and faithful of the diocese because of the COVID-19 health protocols. Precisely in this dramatic situation, the bishop pointed out, the new priests will be called to be Good Samaritan, bringing care and mercy to the wounded hearts, and they will also be missionaries in remote places or even in three dioceses where the Lord will call them to live. Bishop Alphonse said that priests are called to be available and happy to serve anywhere, including in remote mission territories, poor countryside, or in areas hard to reach. The population in places of conflict or where there are natural disasters or a high risk of contagion from a pandemic, the bishop said, really need the presence of priests for material and spiritual comfort in order to help overcome pain and receive hope. In the context of the scarcity of priests, and while the population suffers severely from the pandemic and other causes, Bishop Alphonse said that after a prayer of discernment, he decided to share half of these new priests with isolated territories in other dioceses that lack priests. He's sending some of them as Fidei Donum priests in the Northern Diocese of Hung Hoa, where they will serve about 250,000 faithful living in mountainous and lowland areas in 10 provinces. I am Robin Gomes.
The Pontifical Missionary Works of Slovakia has launched a prayer marathon ahead of the Pope's apostolic visit to the country in September. Lydia O'Kane has that story.
With just 40 days to go until the apostolic visit of Pope Francis in Slovakia, the Pontifical Missionary Works of Slovakia has launched an initiative to prepare for his arrival on the 12th of September. A prayer marathon will take place from the 7th of August to the 15th of September and will require each member of the faithful to recite the rosary daily in church, at home or within their own community. We invite all people of goodwill, the organisers underline, to participate in the preparation of a spiritual bouquet on which each believer will ideally place a flower with a prayer for Slovakia and for the Pope. For their part, the Slovakian bishops are encouraging the faithful to look to the example of the Virgin Mary and St. Joseph, her spouse, who they say guide us in the following of Jesus and lead us to recognise the traces of his presence in our lives, in expectation and in the deepest desires of our hearts. We are all invited to this journey of life, to this pilgrimage, continue the bishops, individuals, families, communities. Pope Francis himself will take part in September and will encourage us personally. In addition, the Auxiliary Bishop of Bratislava, Josef Halko, head of spiritual preparation of the papal visit in September, invites the faithful to pray the rosary every day so that the words that the Pope will pronounce in Slovakia may fall on fertile ground and bear fruit in a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. The Pope's visit to Slovakia will take place from the 12th to the 15th of September. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, you can visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also follow us on the Vatican News English Section Facebook page and Twitter account. My thanks go to the sound engineers and technicians in studio in the Vatican. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.